Y cuando termine, por favor, si regresan los audífonos, se los agradeceré mucho. Gracias.
Okay, so we'll revisit that again for in case somebody comes in and we suspect they may need an interpreter. So we'll do that periodically. This is a special meeting of the Districting Commission, so this is a public meeting. And we're here primarily to obtain a public testimony on the districting process. But before we get into that any further, let's pretend we have a flag of the United States behind us. Where is it? Oh, there it is. So if we could just kind of turn around, if you would, and join me in saying the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, everybody. A couple of housekeeping items. One is the restroom. This is actually the first time I've been here. I live on the west side. I've gone to the theaters and restaurants, but never been here in the hub. But I guess there's some restaurants on the other side of this building, the men's and women's restaurants. Restroom. We're also here, as I said earlier,
public testimony. So what I want to do is let you all know that we have these forms here that are kind of distributed all over the place. So what I'm asking you to do is take some time when we have the break to fill out these forms and hand them in to the people in the front counter so we can elect them. Also,
since we're here to obtain public testimony, if you would like to speak and offer us your opinions about the main topic of tonight, which is identifying communities of interest, we need you to fill out a speaker form. It's one of those blue forms that's in the front table again. So, and if you turn around, she's raising her hand, and there's the form. So just please fill that out. And also, tonight is not the only opportunity that you have provide testimony. There is a little pamphlet that's out in front again that has various avenues for which you can provide your testimony. It has a phone number, an email address, a Twitter address. I can never say that right. It's a Twitter address that you can use anytime after tonight to submit your testimony. And last but not least, you can put this little card in your wallet or in your purse to remind yourself, again, after tonight, you can provide that testimony. And I would encourage you to hand these to your friends, your relatives, your neighbors, so that way we can get more input. Now, what I would like to do is take this opportunity to introduce the commissioners who are with us tonight. Unfortunately, we have a couple that weren't able to come because of other obligations. But I'd like to start to my right with Commissioner Rita Buencamino Andrews, John Corey, and Reynaldo Monzon. And I'd like to also introduce our city staff who are here with us, the Honorable City Attorney Glenn Guggins, Ms. Ann Steinberger from the City Manager's Office, and also Southwest Strategies, who are our outreach consultant. They're all over the place, so I want to give them a little shout out. And last but not least, I'd like to introduce our mapping consultant, the person who is actually going to be directly involved in helping us create these city council districts, and that is Kerry McDonald from Q2. She's associated with UC Berkeley, and she has her team here manning the, or personing, I guess, the laptop. A little brief history about this. This didn't come out of nowhere. Back in 2012, you, the residents of Chula Vista, passed a proposition called Proposition B that called for the creation of districts by which to elect the city council. This was historic. This was the first time this is happening in Chula Vista's history. And many times people ask why. Well, the residents, you, wanted a government that was more responsive, accountable, and representative. We've been at this for a little bit of a while. We first met in September. Since then, we've had a bunch of organizational meetings, you know, to try to hire our respective consultants. And now we're ready to get into the real meat of our efforts, and that is with these phase one workshops. We have 5 workshops scheduled this week throughout the entire city of Chula Vista, 3 here on the east side, 2 on the west side. After tonight, again, I would like to encourage you to invite your friends. We have 2 workshops, one on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock at the Mack Charter School, and one at 3 o'clock at Greg Rogers Elementary School. And again, I ask you to talk to your friends about it. Now, the districts that we create are actually going to be for only 3 election cycles. 2016, the presidential election, 2018, and then 2020, which is another presidential election. Thereafter, once the decennial census comes out, that, you know, the census comes out every 10 years, in 2021, there will be a new districting commission that will kind of take our districting plan and kind of modify it to address all of the growth that has happened, not just here in the east side, where we presently are, but the anticipated growth that's going to happen on the west side, because there's a lot of scheduled housing developments that are happening throughout our city. The main focus of tonight's event is to obtain from you your input, your feedback on communities of interest. And what we mean by that, sometimes when you use that term, it kind of sounds abstract and it kind of goes everybody's head. And oftentimes people will think that a community of interest is identified by a housing subdivision, but it's not. It transcends that. It's basically where you live, where you pray, where your children go to school, where you recreate. It encompasses those things delineated by a boundary, you know, some kind of boundary around that neighborhood within which you live. It can be identified by people who share the same culture, the same language, be it English or Spanish or Filipino or Chinese, whatever. So there's many things that could be that's associated with what constitutes a community. And of course, we are all part of one community, but in this one community, there are various sub-communities. So I mentioned the handouts, and so if there's nothing else, I'm going to turn it over to Ms. McDonald to let her make her presentation.
Go, I get special light. Thank you very much for coming, everybody. My name is Karen McDonald, and this is my colleague, Jamie Clark. And also, we had another commissioner joining us, Ms. Cheryl Goddard. So again, thanks for coming. I'm going to give you a brief overview of the process and the criteria that we're going to be using. And while I do that, I will keep looking at the translators, and if I go too fast, they're going to let me know. Okay, good. So let's start this presentation. So districting in Chula Vista, so how it works and how to participate. I'm going to repeat some of the things that the chair just talked about as well. So what is districting? Districting is an electoral system in which the representatives are elected from districts. So what you currently have is called an at-large system. And once you have the different districts, you're going to have a district-based system. Districting itself is the process of drawing the boundaries that divide the city's population into the four districts. So it's four districts because that is what the charter tells us to draw. And there's a seven-member citizen commission that is charged with constructing the city council boundaries, and the chair just introduced them. Starting in 2016, the Chula Vista City Council will be elected by the voters in these four districts instead of by all of the voters in the entire city. So basically, people are going to run from the district. There will be candidates, and then the people that live in the districts that are being created by this commission are going to be voting on them. Next slide, please. So how were the commissioners selected? That may be something you might be interested in finding out. There were applications that were due to the Charter Commission that everybody here sent in, and I think there were something short of 30 applications. I was talking to one of the members of the Charter Commission yesterday. And the Charter Commission looked at all of these applications and then selected 10 of the applications, and then from those applications, four were randomly selected. Then once the first four commissioners were selected, they picked three more from the remaining pool. And that process was designed to reflect the diversity of Chula Vista. The applicants had to comply with various conflict of interest exclusions, so there were some people that actually could not apply to be on the commission. For example, sitting city council members could not apply to be on the commission, or you know, people that had a particular political connection, or people that worked for the city. And all of this is designed to keep this commission pure, as we say, so that you don't have people on the commission that are just going to draw districts, you know, for themselves or you know, for other people, basically. Commissioners had to demonstrate diverse skills, including analytic ability and impartiality. So they did that by filling out this application and basically telling the Charter Commission a little bit about their background, the kinds of things that they have done in the past, and also, you know, their community participation and involvement in Chula Vista. And finally, the commissioners may not run for city council for 4 years after this process concludes. And that, again, is designed to make sure that they're not drawing a district and then they're going to run in that district, because that would be a conflict of interest. Next slide, please. So what does the commission do, and when are they going to do it? This is a brief summary slide, and on the next slides, I'm going to tell you about the dates when these things are going to happen. So they're going to hold public hearings, such as this one. They're going to keep doing that. So we had two hearings already this week. We're on Tuesday and Wednesday. Today's our third meeting. And there are two on Saturday. Upon conclusion of these five public hearings, there's going to be a little bit of a break, and then they're going to reconvene and have two line drawing meetings. And we call them line drawing meetings because they're going to be public, and they're going to sit together. You're welcome to come. You can participate. And they're going to try to take all the information that they have received from all of you, as well as other information that we're going to go through in a second, and they're going to try to come up with a draft plan of what these districts are going to look like. They will then, well, they are currently collecting data through community input, and they're going to continue to do that. So you can do that just like the chair said. You can send it to us, fill out a form. We'd really love to hear from you. And there are various other ways to also provide input to the commission. They will construct and approve the draft districting plan at these line drawing meetings on April 24 and 25. And then they're going to hold feedback meetings. So once they have some lines and they have a draft, they'll come back out and they will ask you all what you think about it. Does this work? What do you like about it? What do you not like about it? Did we get something wrong? Is there something we didn't know about the city of Chula Vista that we should know about? You know, is there anything we can do to improve upon this? And that's going to happen in May. So we're going to have 5 hearings again, and they're going to be roughly the same format, except that we're going to be looking at some lines on a map. So basically draft districts. And then in June, after they've had those 5 hearings, there's again going to be a break so people can think about what they think about the maps, you know, give some feedback again, send some feedback in. And then on June 8th, they will reconvene and make modifications to the draft plan. So, you know, whatever kind of fell through the cracks, that's another opportunity to make sure that they're going to get it right. And they're going to do the best they can possibly do to get it right. They will then approve a recommended districting plan and submit it to the City Council for consideration. Next, please. This is a slide that just has the dates. So the first 2 on here were, you know, Tuesday, April 7 and 8. We were in Buena Vista Middle School, and then yesterday we were at the Parkway Women's Center. And then today we're here at the Hub. Fantastic space, by the way. And then on Saturday, we're going to be at the Mac Church School and Greg Rogers Elementary in the afternoon. The line drawing meetings are always going to be at City Hall. And as far as I know, they're going to be televised as well. So, you know, if you want to, like, watch them on the television and then just run down really quickly if they're doing something wrong, that's all happened in the past. So keep that in mind, okay? And it's going to be, it's a really, really interesting process, by the way, to watch people draw lines. And it's a lot of fun. So I really hope that you're going to be able to come and participate. And I know it doesn't sound like a lot of fun to some people, but it really is. So for the second phase, once they actually have some draft districts, this is a list of the dates when the commission is going to get back together and hold feedback hearings. It's May 12, 13, 14, and then again on a Saturday we will have 2 hearings. They're May 16 in the morning and in the afternoon. And the commission has picked these dates and these times to make sure that really there is a wide opportunity for people to participate and come out. So, you know, if people are working during the week and they're maybe off on Saturdays, they may be able to come. Or, you know, if you're working on a Saturday, maybe you can come during the week. And we're holding these hearings in the evenings so that more people can, you know, join us and give us feedback. But should you know of anybody who can't make it to a meeting, then just please let them know that there are other avenues through which they can provide public input, and we're going to tell you how in a second. Also, the line drawing meeting again is going to be June 8th. That is again going to be at City Hall, and the website for the City of Chula Vista has a section just for the districting committee, and that is a commission rather, and that is a really good resource to make sure you're not missing a meeting or you're not missing an announcement, because you know they may be scheduling different meetings and you know we don't know about them yet. So please just always go to the website. It's chulavistaca.gov/districting. I think I'm fading in and out. So if you guys can't hear me, just let me know, okay? I think I have to turn a particular way. So, okay. I will be turning a lot, apparently. So, let's talk about how the commission will decide where to draw the district lines. The city charter has some criteria that the commissioners have to use to draw lines. And the first one is that districts shall have reasonably equal population as required by the federal and state constitutions. So this is exactly how the charter lists these criteria. And I'm going to go through them in detail. So I'm just going to read them off, and then on the next slides we'll provide more information about them. The second is that district boundaries shall be geographically compact and contiguous. They shall follow visible features and boundaries when possible. So visible features and boundaries, basically, we don't want to have a line that goes through a field where there is like no street, you know, you should be able to know where the line is just by looking. So if it's a street, it's going to follow a street. It could follow, you know, a lake. It could follow any kind of other boundary that you can actually see. So it really is, this criterion is really exactly what it says. It's really easy. Then finally, the chair has already talked about this. This is the important one for all of us right here in this room right now. District shall respect communities of interest to the extent practicable. And we'll talk about this a little bit more in a second. And then finally, this is the don't bring politics into this process. You shall disregard incumbents, candidates, and political parties when you're drawing lines. And these criteria are not ranked. And what does that mean? That means that you're not going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You actually have to meet all these criteria pretty much at the same time, except for equal population. When we're done, we really have to have districts that have roughly the same number of people in them. Okay, next please. So when we're talking about equal population, what are we talking about? How many people do we have to have in each district? And this is a really easy rule of thumb, and it works for any districts that you ever going to be drawing anywhere. You go to the census and you look at the last census data. So that was, the census is always collected in the year ending with zero, and then they release the data in the year ending with one. So those are the data that you have to use for districting or redistricting. So you go back to the census, and you can even do it on the census website, and you find the total population for whatever area you want to district or redistrict, and then you divide it by the number of districts you want to draw. And that is what we call your ideal population, and that's how many people should be in each district. Okay, so it's pretty straightforward. We know from the charter we have four districts. We know from the census how many people lived in Chula Vista when they last collected the census, and that was 243,916. And then you divide that by four, and what you're getting is 60,979. That's what we want per district. Okay, when they're done, they should be somewhere around there. Next slide, please. Okay, thank you. So how equal is equal? Like, what do they mean when they say, like, you know, draw equal population districts? Well, there are different standards for different jurisdictions, and when, for example, people are drawing congressional districts, they have to be very, very equal. So they can only deviate, as we say, by one or two people. So you can only have a difference of one or two people. They have to be just very, very accurate. But in local jurisdictions, for example, here in the city of Chula Vista, you have a little bit more flexibility, so you don't have to be that strict. And that's actually a really good thing, because sometimes you want a little flexibility because perhaps you have a neighborhood that came out and talked about their neighborhood and how they really need to stay together. And having a little flexibility will give you that opportunity to keep that neighborhood together, even though you'll have a few more people in the district. So what we're talking about here is maybe going above or below 5%. So that is okay. And plus or minus 5% would get us to 30,048 people as a rough deviation. So that's kind of the play that you have between districts. Next, please. The Voting Rights Act. So we didn't see this earlier on my list, but we're going to talk about it anyway, because the Voting Rights Act applies to all jurisdictions anywhere in the United States. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you are. Voting Rights Act applies in certain situations. So what does it do? It prohibits the denial or abridgment of voting rights on the basis of race or language minority status. And the Voting Rights Act defines language minority as Asian, Native American, Alaskan Native, or Spanish heritage, and it does not apply to any other language groups. So Finnish, Swedish, doesn't matter if you're Scandinavian or, you know, if you're living in any Armenian speakers, actually, will not apply to that either. So it really only applies to Asians, Native Americans, Alaska Native, and Spanish heritage, in addition to racial groups. It prohibits practices that have the purpose or effect of discriminating on the basis of race or language minority status. And again, it applies nationwide to all jurisdictions that conduct elections. So if you have one of these racial groups or you have one of these language groups, then you know you need to pay attention, because the Voting Rights Act is there to tell you that there are certain things that you cannot do. Next, please. So Section 2 is the section that applies, that in the Voting Rights Act, that applies to districting and redistricting. So of course the Voting Rights Act is bigger than just this. But this is the section that we're really concerned about when we're drawing districts. And what it says is that electoral systems, well, how it applies is that electoral systems can limit the ability to elect a candidate of choice. That is the term that you always hear when people are talking about section of the Voting Rights Act, by a protected class of voters in various ways, including cracking, which is dividing up a politically viable population concentration so it doesn't constitute a majority in any district, or packing, which is the other side of it. So where you take a high minority population group and you stick them all into one district so that they cannot constitute a majority in maybe more than one district. Sometimes it's even three districts that you can draw. So let me explain that a little bit more. So if you have a protected group that is very large in one area, so you don't want to slice and dice that group of people so that they still cannot elect somebody who will represent them or who will represent their needs, okay? What you want to do is you want to look at that group and you want to make sure that you are treating them fairly so that they can elect candidates of their choice, or have an ability to elect candidates of their choice under a fairly drawn districting scenario. So no putting too many people in one district and no splintering a population group into many districts so that they cannot elect anyone. So practices that limit the ability to elect in this way are said to dilute minority voting strength. So vote dilution is essentially one of the big terms that you hear with Section 2. Okay. Okay. So, but I have to use it? Yeah. Okay. Okay, next. I'm sorry, I'm fading in and out. It's kind of throwing me off a little bit here. Okay, next, please. Oh, yeah. So, let's go to the next charter criterion, and that is compactness. The charter says that district boundaries shall be geographically compact, and that addresses the geography of the district. So, we are talking about just looking at a map and then essentially looking at what a district looks like. Why does this even matter? Why do we care about whether or not a district looks a particular way? Well, the Supreme Court has said that compactness guards against all types of gerrymandering, and drastic departures from compactness are a signal that something may be amiss. So what that really means is that when you look at a district and it looks funny or it looks strange, then there may be something wrong with it. And that's essentially what the courts have said. If it looks funny, then we want an explanation. And, you know, gerrymandering, of course, is that big term that everybody knows when they're talking about redistricting, because that's always what you hear. And when you're looking at maps of gerrymanders, they always look really weird. They look like dragons, they look like lizards, they look like something under, you know, a microscope. And if you see a district like that, you may wonder, what happened there? Is there some funny business going on, you know? And then you want to know more. So essentially, does a district look funny? Sometimes it's hard to tell whether just a funny-looking district is really a gerrymander, you need to know more about it. So you need to know about the underlying geography, because sometimes city boundaries look funny. So you look at the edges, for example, of some of the cities in the state of California, and they look really strange to begin with. And so if you have strange geography, your districts are going to look a little strange. So I'm saying this because we should not jump to conclusions. Of course, we're not going to be gerrymandering here because we know better. And we have all of these exclusions. You know, we have a commission that was thoroughly vetted, that is not going to do anything that's politically funny here. And this is a transparent process. Everybody can watch everything. Everybody can participate. And, you know, as they used to say, sunlight is the best disinfectant. So sunlight is a very good thing. Transparency is a very good thing. Next, please. Then there's contiguity, which is also in the charter, which says districts shall be contiguous. This is a pretty straightforward one. It means that your district has to be in one piece. So let's not have like one piece of the district in the north and the second part of the district in the south without a connection. It has to be together. Oh, okay. I have to slow down. If you want to know whether you have a contiguous district, you have to basically just be able to drive from one side of the district or walk from one side of the district to the other side of the district. And if you're not leaving the district, then it's probably a contiguous district. Now, in some areas, you may have some water in between. That gets very interesting. Like in Hawaii, sometimes they have like little areas that are outlying and they still need to go into the district. So there are actually districts that are connected because you can use a canoe to go from one side to the other. And that can also be a contiguous district, because sometimes areas are too small to give their own district, right? And we also have a situation like that a little north of here, the Channel Islands. They also had to be connected to a district. So if you have geography like that, then, you know, usually you stick the outlying area into the closest district. But we're in Chula Vista, everything is connected, so it's not going to happen to us here. Next, please. This is the big one, communities of interest. So what is a community of interest? It is, according to the charter, it is a geographic area comprised of residents who share similar interests, including, but not limited to, social, cultural, ethnic, geographic, or economic interests, or formal government or quasi-governmental relationships. And what is it not? Communities of interest cannot include relationships with parties, incumbents, or candidates. So, this is what the chair earlier talked about. We would really like your help to define communities of interest for Chula Vista, because the census will give us a lot of data, and there's a lot of geography that will help us meet the other criteria, but we don't really know where all of the communities of interest are. So thank you for participating in this process, and please let us know where your community of interest is. So what does that mean, community of interest? Well, under the law, it doesn't really, there's not really a limit to what your community of interest could be. Communities of interest could be different for every single one of you here in this room, but very likely there's some overlap and some of you will agree on your community of interest. Just because people don't agree with your community of interest doesn't mean that it's not valid. So please just tell us. Some communities of interest are very small. So when we talked about how many people have to be in a district, that's different from community of interest. Sometimes communities of interest are only a couple of city blocks or maybe an area around a park or something like that. So don't worry about how many people are in there. Just tell us what the community of interest is and what the boundaries are so we can find it on the map. Because if we can find it on the map, then the commissioners can use it later when they're building the districts to put communities together that may be a good match to be in a district so that people have the ability to elect, back to some language in the Voting Rights Act, okay? The Chula Vista Charter provides some guidance and examples, but again, that's guidance and examples. So there may be more. There may be some issues out there that are not covered in the charter. So think big. It's up to those who live in or work with community within the communities to identify and establish them. We have a little music. Okay, this will be our dance intermission. So if you live in the community or you work in a community, you know something about that community, you can define the community of interest. The interests need not to be limited to your current situation, but they can also include common goals. So let's go to the next slide and talk about this a little bit more. So if you could, just to keep it very basic, if you could just answer these questions, that would be very helpful. Like, what bonds your community, and where is your community located in the city? The way you do that is you kind of outline your community of interest, talk about what your mission is or what your commonality is, and then maybe think about what's outside of the community. I mean, I always say this from my experience. Jamie and I, we live in Oakland, and in Oakland, sometimes when you go across the street in a certain area, everything changes. So it's really just like walking across the street and you're not in your neighborhood anymore. You're not in your community anymore because it's completely different. So we would know exactly where our community of interest boundary is because we know that there's something different outside of that community of interest. So then we would write down that street and say, well, it's San Pablo Avenue, for example, or, you know, it's West Grand Avenue, because once we walk across, it's a different community. We don't know the people that live there. We don't go to the same neighborhood crime prevention council with them. You know, they don't come to our neighborhood meetings. They work on other stuff. And it's just a different story. So that's sometimes a good rule of thumb to think about where your community ends if you don't know. And then create a map of the boundaries. You could use Google Maps if you like playing with computers. There is a handout that we have available that will walk you through step by step how to do that. If you don't like computers, just use either a printout of a map and you can draw it on there. You can give us a hand-drawn map. We just got a fantastic one yesterday. So just make sure that we can read the street names, okay? So make sure it's clear, because I would hate for somebody to give us a whole map and then we can't find it when we're digitizing it, when we're putting it into the computer. And you can also just write down the boundaries. And the way you do that is just, my community of interest is defined by, you know, just say, well, we're all working on, or we're all working on, you know, something, fill in whatever it is you're working on, and then say, and my community of interest is this street to this street to that street to this street. So just describe it to us. If we can find it on the map, we're all good. Since the charter talked about like economic interests, we thought we'd give you a couple of examples. So current situation, like I said, it doesn't have to be about what's going on right now. It could also be something that you're working on, so a goal. Current situation is common employment or economic opportunities, like everybody here works for, let's just say, this particular factory, or everybody here works for this university. And we're all living right around the university. Or everybody goes to school at this university, and this is where all the students live. Could be something like that. It could be economic opportunities. So, you know, basically, we are all working here, but this particular situation is changing because the store we're all working at or this company we're working for is actually leaving, and we're working to bring in somebody new. You could be working on expanding opportunities for employment. There could be development. I know that there are a lot of developments going on here in Chula Vista. People are moving in certain areas. That could be something people are working on, bringing in business again. Social interests could be, you know, schools. We're all working on the school. We're working on, you know, creating after-school programs, things like that. It could be different for everybody, as I say. So don't limit yourself. Don't think that we need to hear something specific from you. You are the experts. You're the experts on your community. So please just tell us where it is and what it's about. Next, please. Some of the definitions that we've heard in the past are that people are organizing around schools or school districts, transportation hubs, again, Oakland Greyhound Station, that a lot of people were organizing around that, community centers or dog parks. And then oftentimes people talk about race and ethnicity, and race and ethnicity cannot be a predominant criterion when we're drawing district lines. So the commissioners have to be careful to not just say, okay, we're going to be drawing, you know, a Latino district. There has to be more to it, you know. And oftentimes what's to it, what that really means, is that there is a shared cultural heritage, or there is shared immigration status. There are shared experiences. Perhaps people come from the same part of the world in this particular section of Chula Vista. And there could be access or lack of access issues to education, maybe a higher number of kids per household or a younger overall population. We see that oftentimes with immigrant communities. And, you know, there's always shared languages and cultures. So, you know, sometimes it's not just one term. It's just there's a lot more to it, and we would love to hear from you more about it. So tell us as much as you'd like to tell us, please. Next, please. And then finally, disregard where incumbents or candidates live and disregard political parties. And this prohibits intentional benefit or harm. We don't want to create a situation where somebody knows, oh, this person wants to run for this district once it's drawn, so we should do everything to make sure that this person cannot, like, run for that district because we're going to draw the lines in a way that they can't or something. We're not going to do any of that. We don't want to know where people live. We don't want to know where candidates live. This is not the time to talk about that. This is the time to talk about you, your communities of interest, and getting some really good districts for the city of Chula Vista. Next, please. So why should you participate? We're hoping you'll take this back and invite more people to come. You probably know this already because you're here. This is an important process. You should participate because you're going to give your community a voice and make sure it has equal access to the political process. This can encourage citizens to register and vote and remain politically engaged. You'd be surprised about how many people start by going to one districting or redistricting hearing, and then they really become very active with organizing people to register to vote and come out to elections and really, really educate their communities about the process. To help shape a districting plan that provides communities a meaningful opportunity to elect candidates who represent their interests on issues that are important to their lives. So, you know, we have basically opened up the entire process. This districting commission really wants to hear from you. So please take advantage of that. Take advantage of this opportunity to work with them and to let them know that they're doing a good job, that they're doing a bad job, how they could do a different job. Just let them know, please. Finally, we have districting access sites. This is one of them here in the hub. So if you are talking to your neighbors and you want to kind of talk about like where your community is, or maybe develop some testimony, maybe come out as a group and, you know, give testimony together, or maybe just fill out forms and submit them to the city, you can go to one of these three sites if you don't want to do it in your living room. There's a Civic Center branch on F Street, the South Chula Vista branch, and then this particular branch here that has districting access sites where we have computers available that you can use to look at the city's website. There will always be the most accurate information on there. There are, you know, the computers you can use to, for example, draw a map on Google. You can meet with people here and talk about your testimony. And it's a really good setup, I think, to organize people to participate. Next. How to get involved? Again, testify. submit written testimony, send supporting information to the districting commission. We would like to hear from you about communities of interest or anything else you want to tell us that's relevant to the process. You can do that here. You can email it. You can mail it. You can drop it off. You can do all of these different things. But what we would really like is for you to tell us about your communities of interest by April 20, please, because 4 days later, they're going to start drawing lines. And to be able to really look at the information that you're submitting, it would be good to have it by April 20. If you don't get it in by the 20th, you can also come and still testify. I mean, they'll do their best, obviously, to look at things that come in later, but it would be good if you could meet that deadline. The city attorney's office at City Hall will accept anything that is dropped off, so if it's a map or any kind of testimony, and you can also email it. We have an email address set up. It's districting@chulavistaca.gov. And again, please always check the city's website for news and upcoming information about meetings. And this PowerPoint is on the city's website. Please feel free to download it, to use it if you're going to talk to other neighbors. And we have a lot of handouts in different languages. Please take those too, and please send your neighbors over to a meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. Just a couple little clarifications. One is that when Ms. McDonald talked about the preliminary plan that we're going to be working on in about 3 weeks or so, we're going to start on a Friday and they continue all on Saturday. That's when we do that, we're not going to just develop one map. We're going to develop at least two and possibly three maps that we're going to share with the entire community. And the reason for that is because there's more ways to, as they say, there's more ways to skin a cat. And we want to be able to provide people various ways at looking at this whole thing, okay? And not just come out with one map and then everybody attacks that one map saying, hey, you didn't look at this, you didn't look at that, you didn't look at whatever. We want to come up with at least two, possibly three maps to share with everybody. And then through that vetting process, then we single it down to one map that will go to the city council. The other thing that I want to clarify is that as represented in this venue tonight, Chula Vista is a very culturally diverse community. Okay? So I don't want anybody here to think that their community is not going to be represented in whatever districting plan that we come up with. Whatever districting plan we come up with is going to represent this cultural diversity that has made this community so rich. And so I want to reassure everybody about that. All right, so we're going to break up for about 20 minutes. I'd like for all of you to walk around, take a look at the maps. Also remember, if you want to speak, you need to fill out a form. Also, when you do speak, maybe the best thing, instead of speaking from back there, is to come up here. We're going to have the map of Chula Vista on this board and simply kind of walk up to the map and kind of point out the community that you're talking about. We have a little a laser pointer and kind of point out, you know, the boundaries of your community of interest. So we want this to be very interactive. And again, please don't feel shy. We want to hear you. And